Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake joined by Matt in week two of the podcast under the quarantine. And we've already run out of stuff to talk about. So we are going to talk about some movies, some sports movies today. See what we think.
Yeah, should be a good time. You know, I think it's a good time to just revisit some of these classics, you know, slow down a little bit, rewatch a few. I don't think I've rewatched a sports movie yet, although I'm very close.
Matt and I haven't shared our list. I'm coming up with a list as it goes. So we'll see what happens. Did want to mention just a couple things real quick before we get into that. First one being, we did touch on this briefly, but Tom Brady's going to Tampa. Matt, let me ask you this. Who do you think gets more wins, Tampa Bay or New England this season?
I'm going to cheat a little bit. And ask you a question. How's Tampa Bay's defense?
Last year was very good analytically, not great in terms of points. It's one of the defenses that was better, like, it should have been better point-wise than it was, if that makes sense.
Right, and I'm assuming we can give some of that blame to Jameis Winston with all the interceptions.
Yeah. So it's a good defense. Nothing too fancy, but, you know.
Okay. I mean, gosh. Like, I know that the Patriots just always seem to figure it out. It's just their defense was so bad for so much of the year, and they did sort of put it together towards the end. But this is about wins over the entire regular season. I know they lost Kyle Van Noy, who's turned into a very good NFL linebacker. So I'm going to say, and like, I guess I don't expect the Falcons or the Panthers to be good. So I'm probably going to say the Buccaneers.
All right. I had something in my throat. That's not a coronavirus cough.
Let's hope so.
No worries. I think New Orleans is going to be good. I think Atlanta could be good. I think Carolina could be all right. I think Teddy Bridgewater is all right, especially if they get like an Isaiah Simmons. We'll see what happens. But yeah, I'd say Tampa just, I don't see what's going to happen in New England. I actually like Jared Stidham, their quarterback, but we haven't really seen him in the NFL. I thought he was good in college, good college quarterback at Baylor, then Auburn. So they did just sign Brian Hoyer today in New England. So it looks like it's going to be between Hoyer and Stidham will be kind of the quarterbacks there in New England.
I would hate New England so much if I was Brian Hoyer. Just because, like, it's very clear they don't actually want you. It's just, you know the system, and we need kind of a waiting period guy. And they like bring him in.
He's there.
Yeah, I feel like that would be very frustrating.
Yeah. No, I'm sure it would be. But also he's getting paid to do that a lot of money, so can't complain too much.
Right. Yeah, hey, I mean, yeah, I would do it for, you know, $1 million or $2 million or however much he's making. Because he's got to be making some sort of a veteran deal now, so that boosts it up too.
Yeah. You know what's weird, Matt, is the Buffalo Bills are going to be like the overwhelming favorites to win that division.
That is weird. That is a very weird sentence that just came out of your mouth.
I know. Felt weird saying it. All right. Well, Matt, let's talk about some of our favorite movies and just see where this goes. There's one I want to start off with real quick before we, you know, it gets overshadowed. I think an underrated movie that not a lot of people have seen, and they should see, is Green Street. With Elijah Wood and Charlie Dunham.
This is a very good movie. I'm suspecting that most of our listeners have not seen it.
Yeah, Green Street, it's about, the basic plot line is Elijah Wood's an American. He goes to England to live with his sister, married to an English lad. And his brother-in-law, I guess, his sister's husband's little brother is the same age as Elijah Wood's. And the brother-in-law is a big soccer fan, big West Ham United fan, and he's in what's called a firm, which is basically like, I don't want to say soccer gang, but kind of like a soccer gang, you know? So Elijah Wood kind of joins that. He's this preppy Harvard kid who ends up joining a soccer game. So that's like the premise of it without giving a lot away of the actual plot. But I thought it was fantastic. Very good. It's not like a comedy, so it's not super funny, but, you know, some funny moments, some serious stuff. And Charlie Dunn is one of the best actors. And it's just a cool movie, you know? I really liked it, but I feel like a lot of people haven't seen it here.
Yeah, no, and I mean, yeah, it looked, I mean, when I saw it, I'm not even 100% sure that I saw it all the way to the end, but it did look like a lower budget movie to me. So I assume it's an old movie too. Like, this is before Lord of the Rings, I would
think.
And
it is very, I'm not 100% well. Sure.
Yes, this movie does have an R rating, which, yeah, you know, usually you're not looking for that in a sports movie, because a lot of times sports movies are, we're going to watch this together as a family. This is not what this movie is, although that might be a good break if you want to see something about sports, but you just want to see something. I don't like when people describe movies as edgy, because I don't like edginess for edginess's sake or violence for violence's sake, but I feel like the R rating is earned, and it's there for a reason. So like you said, it does deal with some of that heavier stuff, but it's actually dealing with it. It's not there just for the sake of putting it in there. So
it is very violent, so just heads up. And it's like a legit R rating for violence, but it's very good.
Yeah.
So check it out. Now let's chat some more about, I feel like if we're just going to be agreeing on stuff, this might be going pretty quick. But I feel like unless you want to go a different direction, we got to talk about Remember the Titans.
Yep. Remember the Titans. Classic. So I think like we've probably got some that you guys haven't seen before, and then other ones we will. But yeah, Remember the Titans. I mean, if it's not, I don't think it's the best sports movie ever made. I've got another one in that category. But this one, I feel like, has got to be top two, top three for sure.
It's so good. And it was cool. When I was in D.C., I went over to Alexandria for half of a day, a little bit. I don't remember. But I went to the high school. I saw Gary Bertier's grave, which was really cool. There's not a lot else to do in Alexandria. So that's why I went, was just to go. But it's right outside of D.C. And they have, like, a rock and like a couple other little commemorative things about that team. And it's one thing, because it's a Disney movie, so it's PG, they don't do, and it's not that they don't do a good job, it's just they couldn't show how just crazy, for lack of a better term, integration actually is, and like how much the players and the people in that community actually go through and went through. So that's something that I wish, like, I'd love them to make like a PG-13 movie of version of Remember the Titans, just to get more intense on the, you know, just how much of a divide there actually was in the city. And they did, it's not Disney's fault, because it's PG movie, so they did really well with what they could. But I think it's easy to watch and understand off the top of your head, yeah, like integration, it was a big deal then, but it's harder to internalize without really kind of looking more or reading more, just understanding what the country was like at that time, just really how big a deal that team actually was.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, like all movies just aren't very good at, you know, historical accuracy. And I think that's just an aspect of like what film is. It's going to be 2 to 3 hours. You have to structure the plots in a certain way. So film is kind of more restricted than like a book would be, or certainly than like a biography or even a biographical film. Those things aren't there. But honestly, like as a little kid, I remember being not surprised, shocked a lot of things that happened, but I remember definitely being touched and moved by a lot of the things that happened to the football team and to the community. So I think, It like you said, it accomplishes its purpose. One thing I wanted to bring up that did not, or that you didn't mention, is that like obviously the team went undefeated, and they're very, very good. But I just want to read you the scores to their 10 games that they had. I think it was 10 games. So first one, they won 19-0, 25-0, 26-7, 25-0, 21-16. That was the game against Marshall, and it was their closest game. 29-0, 34-0, 34-0, 26-0, 26-8. So yeah, when they talk about how good that defense was in the movie, like that's the best high school defense I've ever heard of just by looking at the scores.
Yeah, they murdered people. And then for the movie, they moved Marshall to the state championship just because that was the only like close game they actually had. But yeah, no, I remember like I was reading for junior high or high school something, just bored in class and going through like just movie stuff and reading like the actual team. I was surprised like they I knew they went undefeated, but they obliterated everybody. And yeah. Like 25-0 in 1970 is obliterating.
Yeah, well, they had 7 shutouts in 10 games. Like, I can't even imagine that. Like, we had a very, very good football team when we were in high school. And I feel like we would have had more shutouts if we didn't, you know, pull our starter so early in the game. But, like, I'm sure T.C. Williams did that as well, you know? And you guys didn't have 70% of your games as shutouts. Like, Bingham's never done
that. Yeah, no, I'm trying to think on top of my head, like, my senior year, I know we shut Murray out. I think we shut Cypress out. I thought there was like, American Fork scored. Like, I thought there was like 3 off the top of my head. But I don't remember. But yeah, you're right. 70% is unbelievable. Like, score, just because it takes like 1 play to give up and like they score, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So it is, I'm looking at, they must have not had a very good kicker. Because all these, like, 19, 25, 26, 34, there were some extra points that got missed in here.
You know, maybe they just went for 2. Maybe they were ahead of their time analytically.
I don't think that was it, but that could have been it. I don't know.
Yeah. No, the coolest scene, Matt, for me in that movie is, I think, obviously, the Leave No Doubt speech.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'll just pull that up on YouTube like once every month or two and just, you know, just gets me fired up when they're in the, I think it's in the movies, like the semifinals or something, or quarterfinals or something like that. And the Virginia State Board is trying to throw the game. So for some reason, that's going to help Ed Yost, the defensive coordinator, get in the Hall of Fame. I don't see how that helps. But Yost talks to the ref and says, like, you know, I'll go to jail. I'll go down with you. I don't care. Then the ref's like, dig your own grave. And then that's the, like, I don't want him to gain another yard. You blitz all night type thing. And you literally can't watch that without, like, getting, like, shaking your fist or, like, jumping up a little bit or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah, great. Yeah, that one. As far as speeches, it's not like my favorite scene from a sports movie, but that might be the best speech. I can't think of another speech that I would like more than that one.
Well, yeah, because some try to get too cheesy, but that, it's honestly like not that long. Like, go back, it's literally like maybe a minute, the actual speech part of it.
Right.
Because getting too long just takes forever, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't try too hard, it's just short, succinct, and gets to the point.
Right, exactly. Yeah, very short. I don't even think it's that long. I think it might be 25 seconds.
And I'm not changing the subject, but I do want to talk next about the movie Friday Night Lights.
Okay. So are you just picking all these movies? I don't get to pick a movie?
Well, Friday Night Lights, I want to talk about integration in Texas as well as Virginia. So after that, you can go.
Okay, perfect. We'll do that.
After that, you can go, yeah. But no, yeah. Remember Titans, great movie. If you go to DC, go to Alexandria, because it's literally on the train route, like on one of the metro routes or whatever. Is Alexandria's like right outside of DC. It's a cute little town. They got a farmer's market that I didn't go to, but they do have a farmer's market. Check it out. Check out the high school, because they have right by the, I literally like got on the football field and walked around and stuff. And they have a couple like cool little memorial stuff for that team. So please check it out if you go to Alexandria or DC, excuse me.
Yeah, we'll do. Yeah, no, I'd like to do that for sure sometime.
Yeah. Trying to think, remember the Titans stuff. I mean, it's not a lot to say. It's just a quality movie, you know? Denzel does a fantastic job per usual. Cheryl Yost, Hayden Panettiere, she grew up. When I realized she was the girl from those L'Oreal, I think it's L'Oreal, those like makeup commercials, I was shocked when I learned that that was Coach Yost's daughter.
Oh. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, she grew up. Because she was like, that movie came out in 2000, so she would only been a year or two older than us, I think.
Yeah, it's weird how, yeah, because she's like grown up. And she's in Nashville or something like that, some other TV show. Yeah, because I was just thinking it was this like little, like 8-year-old or whatever. Yeah, Nashville is what she was in. All right. Should we talk about Friday Night Lights, Matt?
Let's talk about Friday Night Lights.
Here's why I want to talk about Friday Night Lights. And in relation to Remember the Titans, we're talking about integration in Virginia. That was 1970s. Friday Night Lights, the high school, Permian, Odessa, it was already integrated. This is the season that the movie's based off is 1988. So Texas didn't integrate in 1988. But it's interesting, like, the politics that happened with that. Just general movie principle, this guy H.G. Bessinger went down to Odessa and basically kind of like lived with the team, and he wrote a book. So the movie's based off the book that he wrote, but it followed the team in like the small town, like not politics necessarily, but just like the culture of it and how obsessed with football they are and why it's so important. Because I think for a lot of people, you hear about these crazy high school football towns and you're just like, what is wrong with them? But so he went down literally like, it's so ingrained in the culture, and it was just such a cool thing to read. But the integration thing that I want to talk about before we get bigger picture with the Friday Night Lights, and also the TV show is great, obviously, but pop quiz, and this is related to Friday Night Lights, but just integration question, Matt. What Alabama coach was the first coach to use African-American players?
You know, Bear Bryant seems too obvious, but he's the only non-Nick Saban coach that I can think of, and I'm sure they were using African-American players before him, so I'm going to say Bear Bryant.
It was Bear Bryant, and do you know why it was Bear Bryant, Matt?
Did he lose to Texas or something?
USC, but yes.
Oh, yeah.
USC had integrated before Alabama. I don't think that's a huge surprise. And USC just beat the crap out of Alabama with a bunch of African-American players. So literally the next season, Alabama had African-American players because Bear Bryant, like, knows, like, you know, they're going to beat us. We change with the times. And that's kind of what happened in Texas, because a lot of the integration, Odessa Permian was already such a big school and like a big powerhouse in football, because there's an oil well there. So a lot of like the wealthy families were in that town. And that's not to get into Texas economics, but now the oil money is more in Dallas than Odessa and Midland and stuff like that. So that's why Dallas has had such a bigger shift with high school football. It's obviously always big because Dallas is a bigger city than Odessa, but that's part of the reason like Odessa and Midland aren't as big or as good anymore, is because there's not as much oil there. So went to Dallas. But anyway, with the integration, like, people fought really hard to not let Permian, the high school, integrate because they're already killing everybody. And then once they redrew the lines and did integrate and they did get African, that's part of the book that H.G. Bessinger wrote about. They got even that much more dominant and that much better. So obviously integration, school integration is important for so many reasons, and just one like effect of it, and not even a reason for it, but just an effect of it that I find fascinating, is football and how like the politics of football relate with the politics of integration and other things like that.
Yeah, no, it is. Interesting. It is. It's like, it's weird at our age. Obviously we weren't alive for those things, but it's kind of fun to look back and like watch like Jackie Robinson and some of these other players come in and just be really, really dominant. Or like, as soon as Glory Road is not on my list, but that was another good integration type movie, how they start recruiting all the black players and then they just got all of a sudden. It's kind of funny that it took all these people so long. Like, you would think once it happened in one or two sports that everybody else would be like, oh, we should do this too. But it wasn't really like that.
Yeah, it's kind of weird when you think about it. Yeah. But yeah, Friday Night Lights, very good book, very good movie, very good TV show. I like it because it's not just like another football movie, but I feel like especially the book, but it goes more into like the town and the culture and why it is this way and like the pressure that these kids, these high school kids have on themselves and like how a lot of them do. I don't want not peak in high school, but like after high school, a lot of them just don't know what to do. Like one, the tight end from Friday Night Lights, Matt, he went to Harvard on a football, not a scholarship because they don't give scholarships in the Ivy League, but he like went to Harvard to play football and he dropped out after like a year or two because it wasn't as cool as playing in that stadium in Odessa. So he left Harvard and just went back to Odessa. And Booby Miles, the running back who tore his ACL and never played again, like it talked about what he does now. And he just like creates himself in Madden and like just, you know, cannot get over it. So yeah, it's obviously sad. Like that's actually reading the book was one of the reasons I didn't, on top of not being very good, but like even like try, there's like a couple small schools where I could have like tried to play it or walk on it. But I was just like, you know, I'm done after high school just because it was kind of like depressing reading like some of these guys and like the town and the culture and everything. But it was also like cool to like get a tiny glimpse into that. I don't know if microcosm is the right word, but just into the lives of those kids and stuff like that. Because it is a lot of pressure for an 18-year-old and 17-year-old that the whole town puts on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, the Booby Miles storyline is really what makes it a good movie and like what I'm interested in, just because it's so sad. And you know, for those of you who haven't seen the movie, it's not like the TV show. You can talk about the TV show if you want. I was not a fan of the TV show. But the movie, if we follow and kind of get to know, you know, 4 to 6 players really well and then another 3 players really, really well. For me, yeah, that Booby Miles and just how he, you know, was on top of the world and how he lost everything and it was all just connected to football. That's such a sad thing, especially because like football, like even for people like us who really, really love football and love sports, like that, if you lose football, you shouldn't lose everything in your life. Like it shouldn't be that important. And it's crazy that it is. And so that's what I find most interesting about it.
It is. No, it is really sad. And the sad thing is it's a pretty common story. I feel like that, you know, no one hears about it unless you know the person, but Booby Miles in the book had literally like, you know, could have gone to college for free anywhere. And for a lot of people, even now, like college is a lot of ways just to pay for college. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. even if they can go academically, like paying for it, it's like impossible for a lot of people. So getting to college. So anyway, Friday Night Lights, very good book. We don't need to talk about the TV show because you're not a big fan. I liked it. I love the TV show, but it's for less deeper reasons than the book and the movie. Matt, what movie did you want to talk about that you're anxious to talk about?
Yeah, so one, I've got one that you probably saw because I believe you were living in Utah at the time, but it's called McFarland USA. This is another Disney movie in the Remember the Titans vein of, you know, the kids have challenges, but it's ultimately a lighthearted film. And it's Kevin Costner moves to a city called McFarland, which is just in that, I don't know, central California, maybe Southern California, not Los Angeles, Southern California, but Southern Central California. It's hot, it's a desert, and it's a very Mexican town with a lot of migrant workers. And so what he notices, the plot of the movie, is he goes there to be a football coach, but he ends up having a disagreement with the football coach who's there, so he doesn't coach football, but he notices a lot of the kids, they get up at, you know, 4 a.m, they run to the fields to, you know, work on these farms and pick strawberries and artichokes and everything with their families, and then they run to school, and then they run back home. So he's like, hey, we'd have a killer cross country team if I could get it going. So school didn't have a cross country team. He starts a cross country team, and it's about, you know, just him kind of falling in love with the Mexican culture and his kids and how his family starts to feel more accepted in this Mexican community. And I really enjoy it. You know, there's not a lot of good running movies, particularly distance running movies. And this one I thought just did a really good job of showing the cross-country experience from the kids who are really good, or like the kids, you know, who maybe aren't as athletic, who do cross-country because it's something that you don't have to try out for and you're going to make the team no matter what and what it does for those kids. And so I thought that was it's a really good movie that probably not a lot of people have seen that, you know, now that you have time, I would highly recommend it.
Legitimately forgot that existed.
Right, but I kind of had to, actually. But when I was subbing last year, the Spanish teacher, I was subbing for a Spanish class, and she had me show that to her kids. It's like, oh yeah, this movie was great.
No, it was cool. It's around Fresno, right? It's in that part of California.
It's in that area. I don't know whether Fresno is central or south or whatever, but it's like, think Fresno, but like eighth of the size of Fresno.
Yeah, it's like a small town. It's in like that like hot dry valley part of California.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like migrant workers and farmers and stuff. No, I really liked that movie. You liked it more just because you did cross country and stuff, but I thought it was a good movie.
Yeah. No, it's good. And it's like it's not like a serious Remember the Titans, Coach Carter type of a film. It's not like that. It's just more lighthearted. We're going to watch this as a family and we're going to feel good.
Coach Carter is a quality film, though.
I love Coach Carter.
A quality. I feel like it gets better the older I get.
Yeah, because you like understand a little bit more. Should we just move on to Coach Carter?
I don't want to cut off McFarlane, but...
Yeah, that's pretty much all I had to say, but so... Yeah.
My computer's at 24%, so we got time for one or two more. So let's do Coach Carter real quick.
Yeah, let's do Coach Carter. And at the very end, I've got a movie that I have not seen that I've always meant to see that I'm going to recommend to everybody that we watch together and then we can react together.
Yeah, Coach Carter, one of the cool things about it is when I moved to San Francisco, when I say moved, I mean I just did an internship out there. So nothing major, but... I lived in the Bay Area and I kind of noticed all the towns where they're like Richmond's right there. I forgot that the rival school they play. But like all those towns, like from the high school, is in the Bay Area. So that was fun for me. And it's just like, I just am a fan of Northern California, the Bay Area in general. But I think the reason I like Coach Carter so much is because I don't know why. I think it's not, I don't want to say ridiculous, but it's just so, he's so hard-headed. He's so hard-headed and he's so confident that like, he's not doing it for any other reason than to help like the kids and his players and stuff like that. And I don't think, this is just from the movie, so obviously I don't know the actual dude, but it doesn't seem like he really cares that much about winning. At the same time, he obviously cares a whole lot about winning, but he's not like some coaches try to win so hard they only focus on that. And he's like, winning is a byproduct of the other things he's trying to teach all those kids. And side note, Channing Tatum is in Coach Carter.
Channing Tatum is in Coach Carter. There's also my favorite surprise thing, and less people are going to notice this, but we had a VHS growing up, and I'm sure you know where I'm going with this, but we had a VHS growing up and it was Donny Osmond starring in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, and the actor singer whatever who played Benjamin is also on the team. He's Coach Carter's son.
Yeah, that was, I didn't realize that till like a year and a half ago.
Yeah, but he was in there as well.
Yeah. Well, that's a good movie. That's such a good movie.
Yeah, it's good. I think that it shows, and this has sunk in more being a high school teacher, but just like how these kids just don't. And when I say these kids, I'm talking a lot about my kids as much or more than those kids. Like, these kids just don't take responsibility for their grades or their lives or what they want to do. And it's just like, it's like Coach Carter is the only sane person in the movie, but because everybody else is acting crazy, like the kids and their parents and the school boards and just not making them do all these things that really, frankly, are so easy. Like, he requires them to have a 2.3 GPA, and he almost gets fired because of that. You should have a 3.0 GPA on accident. So, like, just like how irresponsible high school kids can be and how he forces them to be accountable, I think is a really good message, and I think something that high school kids can learn from, just seeing that. Like, I think the way he teaches them and what he expects of them, that is a lot closer to what I think really any high school kid should be acting like.
Yeah, like, I remember the principal, like, her character, she's just, like, he was trying to do all these things to her. Posey's here, by the way, everybody. And she was just, she had, like, given up. And she was, like, trying to explain to Coach Carter this, like, it's too much to, you can't change or you can't fix it. And, you know, that character, is it just shows kind of, like, the system. No, that sounds cheesy. I don't want to say system. But, like, it's an easy attitude to have that's just, like, so overwhelming. People get so overwhelmed because I think everyone goes into teaching. It's not for the money, obviously. Like, they go in because they love doing it. They like kids and, like, want to help them. But, like, a lot of the times they just get overwhelmed. And I'm obviously not a teacher, so I'm not, like, criticizing. Like, I'd be overwhelmed. The reason I'm not is because I would be overwhelmed. But it's just so hard, and there is a lot of work. And, like, a lot of times these kids have such real problems at such a young age that it's kind of disheartening for a lot of the educators. And, like, when I worked for Teach for America, that's what we talked about. I was a recruiter, not an actual teacher, but just like how many real problems these kids are actually facing and how hard it is to overcome it. Like, I think me and you, Matt, grew up in Holiday, Utah. So we weren't rich, but, you know, a good neighborhood, good school, good friends and stuff like that. And so it's hard for us, I think, to really understand the statistics, like how hard it is. Like, if you come from poverty or live in poverty, like, it's not as easy as just pick yourself up from your bootstraps. You need a lot of things going your way. And do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean, but I feel like, I also feel like what he tells the kids in the movie is like, look, I don't care what's going on in your life. You're going to get a 2.3 GPA. You're going to respect your teachers and you're going to dress nice on game days. And no matter what else is going on, you can at least do that. And I think it's important that kids have those, like, even if it's very basic expectations, I think setting those expectations is important for them. And if, like you said, if you're the principal and your teachers aren't supporting you or the parents aren't supporting you, then that's going to be impossible. So just having one person, you know, be able to do that, at least for a team. And then I think he really does get a lot of the parents on board in the movie, which I think is super important. So yeah. Yes, it's true that these kids need support and we need to give it to them. But, like, you know, you can get a 2.0 GPA.
Yeah, it's kind of, I guess, the idea, like, control what you can control. Like, the kids, whatever, the school teachers, principal, it is easy to get overwhelmed and they are overwhelmed. But I think what you're saying he's teaching, this is a lot deeper podcast than I thought we were going to have. But, like, just the principle, like, control what you can control. Like, no matter what's going on around you, you have to be accountable to yourself as much as anyone else. And that's kind of the vibe I'm getting from what you're saying, that, yeah, like, his main goal is.
Well, because, like, if a kid wants to get a good grade in my class, if he emails me, if he comes in after school, if he does his homework, I can totally help that kid and we can get him, you know, an A or a B. But if, like, I have to email their parents and their parents don't respond and I ask him if he turned his work in every day and he says no and he just won't bring his work, like, I can't help that kid. If you're going to try, I can help you. If you're not going to try, then there's just absolutely nothing that I can do.
All right, well, we got integration in. We got education and poverty in. Matt, what's our final topic of conversation?
So our final topic, this is a movie that I have not seen. I've wanted to watch it for a long time. Quarantine is going to be the time. It's called Escape to Victory. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know if I've heard of that.
Okay, let me tell you this. It's so disclaimer, I really like Sylvester Stallone. I'm aware that he has made a lot of movies that are not good, and this potentially could be one of those. So, let me just read you from the Wikipedia page. It's a team of Allied prisoners of war during World War II, coached and led by English captain John Colby, who is played by Michael Caine, for professional footballer for West Ham before the war, agree to play an exhibition match against a German team, only to find themselves involved in a German propaganda stunt. So Michael Caine is the coach. Sylvester Stallone is on the team. Pele plays one of the prisoners of war who's on the team. And Pele is in the movie. And so the plan is that they're going to play. It's basically the longest yard, but they're prisoners of war. And they're going to try to use this soccer game to escape. Doesn't that sound like a terrible premise, but also like it's going to be really fun?
It's like a mix between The Longest Yard and The Great Escape is what you're telling me.
Yes, except it has Michael Caine, Sylvester Stallone, and Pele, who are three of the most different people that I can think of.
You know what's weird? I saw this movie called The Dirty Dozen. It's like an old movie. And Jim Brown was in it, like the Cleveland Browns running back.
Oh, yeah, and I love when athletes are, like, in movies more than just cameos. Because, like, I know, like, LeBron James has been pretty good in movies. Michael Jordan was, like, good in Space Jam. But, like, also you can tell Michael Jordan's not really an actor. And this, I've never heard... Do you know how good Pele's English is? Because I have no idea.
I imagine it's above competent with the Brazilian accent.
Yes, yeah, that's sort of what I'm expecting, which is going to make, like, they're not going to hire an accent coach for Pele to be in a movie, basically is all I'm saying,
yeah.
Which isn't going to make any sense in the setting whatsoever.
Well, Matt, we'll have to check it out. Tell us how it is.
I will.
What should we do next week?
I don't know. We could do books, sports books. We could do sports video games. We could talk about a couple summers ago you and I each saw a European soccer game, and so we could talk about the differences in the atmospheres and what we think is wrong with MLS.
That'd be good.
There's lots of things we can talk about.
Let's do that. Let's pencil that in and see what happens. Any closing thoughts, Matt, before my laptop dies? It's like 15%, so not really an issue, but
let me, we won't expound on this, but just because we didn't talk about it, Rocky is the greatest sports movie of all time in terms of inspiring you and having an interesting character and being a love story. Just Rocky is at the top, just as long as we're clear.
Rocky 1?
Yeah, Rocky, for me... In terms of, like, these aren't necessarily my favorite, but what I think the best movie is. Well, Rocky 1 is my favorite and the best movie. Then it goes Creed. I loved Creed. Then Rocky 2, 3, 4, Rocky Balboa. Then Rocky 5. Which Rocky 5 gets a bad rap. I think Rocky 5 is a pretty good movie, although I know that I'm pretty biased.
I feel like I went into Rocky V expecting to not like it because of the reputation. So yeah. I haven't seen it since like junior high. So I don't feel like I'm a fair judge of character. Yeah.
I mean, it's the corniest of the five movies for sure. But I still think there's like good emotional scenes and interesting character growth and stuff that happens.
I think Rocky Balboa, like Rocky VI, is underrated.
Yeah, that is a good one. I like that a lot. I just think, Like, Creed really surprised me. I really liked Creed.
I haven't seen Creed 2. That's what I'm gonna watch.
Yeah, oh yeah, Creed, yeah, you should see Creed 2. It's like, for me, Rocky and Creed 2 are, like, excellent, like, film movies, like, should win Oscars, that kind of thing, and the other ones are, like, maybe not films in that, like, good films in that sense, but they're very, very good movies.
And Michael B. Jordan has the best style and is yoked out of his mind in those movies.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been in some good stuff.
He was in Friday Night Lights and he was like 90 pounds and then he's in Creed 2 or Creed or whatever. And it's unbelievable. Like, he has his shoulder muscles like literally the size of my head.
Yeah. You know, by the way, yeah, if we like really run out of stuff to talk about sometime, we could, I think it'd be fun to tell you why Black Panther is like the best Marvel movie, like objectively, and I don't even think it's close.
Well,
I really like Black Panther. All
right, next time we'll talk about European soccer and Black Panther.
Deal.
Subscribe, rate, review. Appreciate it, everybody. If you have ideas, let us know. Hit us up at MJ Double Take on Twitter and Instagram. Matt's at Matt Cowden 24. I'm Jacob Cowden 28. Appreciate it. And if we were in the same state, Matt. Oh, you know what? Actually, we'll do that next time. But if we were in the same state, we could do like a live recording thing, like a live stream or something like that for the quarantine folks. But
that'll be fun.
Yeah. So appreciate everybody listening, and we'll talk to y'all next week.